This is Your Money Matters, and let's get to our first guest. Craig Bolanos joins us now. It's always great to chat with you, Craig, because we come to you when we're worried. We come to you when we're excited. And right now, inflation, I mean, that is, when you look at the past couple of months, I know we haven't been where we want to be on those markets. I mean, inflation, I know we have the Ukraine situation and there's a lot of other factors in there, but I mean, inflation really is the driving factor behind any worry, right, that we're seeing.
No, I mean, hands down, at the end of the day, this is all about some macro issues, and those macro issues being inflation that led to higher interest rates, and those higher interest rates have led to the repricing of equity markets, specifically the tech sector. So you're darn right, John. It starts and ends right now with the inflation trade.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about it. Of course, it is a macroeconomic thing, but I think what this bleeds over to what inflation does is we see it every day, right? It's something that every consumer is very aware of, as opposed to maybe some other bigger macro trends. Like, this is something that we feel in our everyday lives. And I imagine that that is dragging sentiment along with it. It just doesn't make anyone feel all that great.
No, well, in fact, you want to talk sentiment. Here's the best inflation gauge I have. Every time I go to this certain place to get a beer and a burger and I sit at the bar, I'm amazed how there's no fingerprints on the menu anymore. There's no ketchup stains on the menu. And I ask, I'm like, do you guys like keep buying new menus? They're like, no, we got to reprint them. Have you seen the price of ground beef every 3 weeks? It keeps going up in price. So once I go back and I start seeing the menus get a little bit dirty, get a little old again at this hole in the wall that makes great burgers, I'll be here to tell you we finally have curbed inflation. But for the time being, nah, this is tough on everybody.
I've seen menus with stickers, right, where they're just putting that new price on top of the old one. And I mean, you're talking about restaurants. I mean, they're just one of the whole line of people chatting with agriculture reporters. I mean, you see diesel so many times along the chain, from the food that's grown in the ground to the food that we see in the grocery market, and diesel up so high as well. I mean, there's just so many things that are kind of making this wheel of our economy grind to a halt and slowly come backwards too.
Well, let's be careful with those words. The wheels of the economy are not grinding to a halt, but I okay. want to say, you know, here's the big news. You know, last week, the market got some news that was tough to digest. You might have seen some earnings reports from two companies, Walmart and Target. And the trick is, these are not poorly managed companies. You know, these are good, well-run, fundamental businesses. But what was amazing about those earnings reports was, in just the course of 10 weeks, let's call it 2.5 months, it's got everybody a little bit anxious that maybe the consumer, you know, what I call the normal American consumer, is actually starting to have a tougher time with the inflation, because they're spending the same amount of money. So the consumer's in good shape, but they're not spending the money on the high margin items. They're actually starting to be a little bit more responsible. And the truth is, that's not good for the U.S. economy.
It may not be good for the U.S. economy, but is that what this is going to take to bring inflation down?
Well, yeah, there's a number of things I'm going to say. Number one, someone says, what's my wish list to get everything rocking and rolling again? Because we could be rolling again here, John. Number one, please, someone reopen Shanghai and quit putting fences around buildings. I mean, this is seriously true. We've got to reopen things in China. I understand the concept of zero COVID, but when you have people not going to work, when you have people not living or not leaving their place where they live, not only are they not going to work, now they're not also spending money. We don't just import from China, we sell into China, and we're starting to get some evidence literally right now. There was some data that came out on Friday that they're going to start easing some of those restrictions. But again, we need to see the proof. I don't pretend to know what the off-ramp is for Russia and Ukraine. I don't think anybody knows what the off-ramp is. I'm not sure if this conflict goes on for months. I don't know if the conflict goes on for years. But if somebody wants to go ahead and look at number two on the list to start curbing inflation, a big part of that inflation is supply chain, specifically wheat prices. We just need to have a belief that things aren't going to escalate any further over there. And right now, that belief is somewhat wavering. And part number three, Shanghai, Ukraine, it's just this. We got to consistently see the jobs numbers continue to grow. We had great jobs data February, March. We had good data in April. We got to continue to put people back to work, because as people come back to work, that helps fix the supply chain. It's all about the people.
In the current situation, though, with inflation still high, and I am with you on all those things, I mean, people on a fixed income, I mean, this takes its toll, and it takes its toll quickly.
Well, if you're on a fixed income, and maybe for some people in retirement, they are on a fixed income. And that's why we refer to inflation as the silent killer. I know all the doctors out there listening are shaking their head right now saying the silent killer is hypertension, but this is a finance show. So the truth is inflation.
And this causes hypertension. So, you know.
Yes, it does. It's all related. Right. It's all about making sure that investors today have strategies to grow their income over time. Because if you don't have a strategy to grow your income over time, then you honestly don't have a strategy at all. So I agree, for those on a fixed income, inflation is particularly, you know, a deadly third rail.
You have some staggering numbers you've talked to me about how 7% inflation, which is less than where we are now, obviously way above where we'd like to be. Let's say that played out for a decade. I mean, you're talking about wiping away a lot of what your purchasing power is, a ton of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the big struggle that everyone's going to have, right? Say you had $1 million portfolio, and for whatever reason, you pulled the ripcord, you bailed on whatever investment strategies you have, and you parked the money in the bank inside that money market paying 0.01 or 0.1. If inflation is 7% over the next 10 years, your $1 million now only buys about $508,000 of goods and services. And that's why people need to have very intentional, measured, well laid out strategies that they can stick through in order to grow their income.
You just led me to my next point. I think that a lot of people just say, well, nothing I can do here. This is what this world is. And it's not like talking with you or working with your group is going to instantaneously make someone, oh, never mind, I'm growing a ton of money right now. But at least you guys can look at someone's portfolio, look at their plan, and say, here's ways we can protect this a little bit more. Here's ways we could minimize the damage now and set yourself up for success as the market turns back the other way, which we know it will.
Well, John, at some point, it's absolutely going to turn, and we need to manage through the crud that we're dealing with right now. But what I talk about at the Wealth Management Group all the time is our strategies are, in fact, TNT. That means they are tested in the trenches. This is not our first rodeo. We have been through conditions similar to this before, and I'm sure that we're going to be through conditions similar to what we're doing in the future. It just happens.
I want to see Craig Bolanos at a rodeo, by the way.
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm trying to picture myself squeezing my thighs together to ride that bull. You know,
I didn't say participating in it, Craig. I was saying, you know, as a spectator.
Okay, yeah, maybe as a spectator. The closest I've come is the mechanical bull at some of the parties. And let me tell you, I'm not putting up world records riding that thing.
That's great. Craig Bolanos, of course, Wealth Management Group, invest with WMG.com. Craig, can you just stick around for one more little segment? I want to ask you about stagflation.
Let's talk stagflation.
All right, quick break, then the news here on WGN. Back here on Your Money Matters on 720 WGN, Craig Bolanos, Wealth Management Group, invest with WMG.com. Can't get a thought of him riding a mechanical bull out of my head even through the news break there. But Craig, let's although this economy's kind of like one, I guess you could say right now, right? Just to bring it full circle.
It really is. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I think we've got to address, you know, this word because people don't even know what it means. And I don't want people to, you know, toss it around too casually, that concept being stagflation, right? And stagflation comes when you have a slowing economy with high unemployment combined with high inflation. Now, let's just check through those three things. We may have an economy that's slowing. We have inflation, but I have yet to see job losses. Have you been seeing job losses?
No, I mean, historical low job. I mean, little ticks here and there of the initial jobless claims, but the unemployment rate still very low, historically low in terms of people. I mean, what, there's two jobs open for every unemployed person?
That's right. This does not feel like a repeat right now of the 1970s when oil prices surged to crazy levels. I mean, they're high today, but, you know, I even talked today, even when you're paying $5 at the pump, $5 at the pump today is not like $5 at the pump back in 07. In 07, that was a problem. I mean, John, have you seen people carpooling to work yet?
No, and I haven't seen lines at the grocery store unless Willie Wilson's given a bunch of free gas away. So
that's exactly it. Thank you. Right. So, I mean, I don't want to be diminished. I don't want to diminish, you know, the challenge that America's going through right now. But right now, this is not a repeat of 1970 style inflation. And I do think we have a Federal Reserve and we have good leadership while they're doing everything they can to engineer a soft landing. It might be a little bit bumpy, but the tools and recipe is here. And we've learned what not to do in the past, not to have a repeat. So I can certainly understand the reference to stagflation, but as of now, the data doesn't support that is going to be a material fact anytime soon.
Right. And if we do see, and I think we have seen again, that slowing of the economy, I mean, Americans' pocketbook still pretty strong, right? We still have savings that a lot of people are burning off. And this could be, even if we do see a slowing of the economy, and look, I'm not a prognosticator. I shouldn't even pretend to be one on the radio. But from what I've heard, and maybe you feel the same way, businesses are not anticipating some precipitous drop in consumer spending.
No, the consumer remains healthy, but the consumer is definitely showing some signs of changing. Again, from those high margin, discretionary goods and services to maybe being a little bit more responsible. And I don't think that's surprising now because the sentiment is tough as ever, but that doesn't mean cutting back on spending. It just means allocating the spending elsewhere. So as you articulated very well, it's been wrong to bet on the consumer in the past. I think it's probably wrong to bet on the American consumer today because nobody does meals and entertainment and travel and leisure like we do in the States.
Yep, for sure. I wanted to ask you one question about the Fed and just how open Jerome Powell is in his press conferences, how he articulates whether you agree with him or not about some of the policies that they do. And I know Ben Bernanke did that a lot as well. It's a noticeable change from, you know, the Alan Greenspan and beforehand. Do you like a Fed that kind of telestrates and talks to the, I mean, Jerome Powell literally said, I want to talk to the American people. We don't hear that often from a Fed chair. Do you find that as an encouraging change from the Fed in terms of outlining what they're doing, why they're doing it?
Well, you know, I mean, just for comparison's sake, you're right. I mean, in the 90s, under Alan Greenspan, everybody would look at his portfolio as he walked down the steps before he got in the microphone and determined what the policy was going to be based on the thickness of that perceived portfolio. Now, the reality is everything has become much more transparent. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to judge the actual results, right? But I do think the heart of every relationship and even these macroeconomic issues, communication, effective, measured, intentional communication matters. So to that degree, yes, I think it's good for equity and fixed income markets to have a good idea as to what is coming. So we end up eliminating, well, you can't eliminate, but you reduce any large exogenous shocks because there's a sudden pivot in policy. So yes, the communication greatly eliminates that risk.
I got to write down this word you just said. What was that word you just
exogenous.
Used? Exogenous.
Yes.
Craig, I'm sure.
And yes, and it has an X, and you drop that in that triple word score for Scrabble, you're going to be great.
Craig Bolanos, it's diminutive. I can't even say that word right. I learn way more than one thing from you every time we chat, but that one's going on the list. Craig Bolanos, it's always a pleasure to chat with you, my friend.
Great to be back, John.
Yeah, for sure. Invest with WMG.com. Give him a call, 833-WMG-PLAN. And Craig, take care, all right?
Thank you, my friend.